Father's intention or the Father's vision is that he will manifest himself through everyone, every part of the body of Christ. Experience will be measured. Your victory will be measured according to the purity of your doctrine. Your progress will be measured according to the soundness of your doctrine. Things have the power to shape a believer's future. They continue steadfastly first in the apostles' doctrine, because it is from this doctrine that the power will flow with the intention that God had in mind.
Our hearts and our minds are open in the name of the Lord Jesus. Our hearts and our minds are open to receive from you that which you have for us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We reject, we turn away from every distraction and we turn to you. Let it be a custom-made word, a tailor-made word for someone under the sound of my voice in this service. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I decree that burdens are lifted, yokes are destroyed, questions are answered. I decree that there are workings of miracles in this service. Your name is glorified. We are edified in this service, and Satan is terrified. Thank you, blessed Father. Thank you for mighty eruptions of testimonies. On ground, online, thank you for mighty eruptions of testimonies. Thank you for mighty eruptions of favor. The clock of favor is resting upon someone in this service. In the name of Jesus, long-awaited heart desires are being granted in this service. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is tearing the earth to show great favor and kindness to someone from this service. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for our city. We thank you for our country, Nigeria. We thank you. Monge Broski Nambahaya. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in the background. We thank you. We thank you. Truly, we thank you. We thank you because you are walking beyond where our eyes can see. And we thank you for the manifestations of the things you're doing in the background, in this city, in this state, in this nation. We thank you because our enemies are swallowed up. We thank you because those who have risen against us, legal bregdo schema kanekepa, they are drowned in the sea of your judgment. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you because the stronger church is emerging. In the name of Jesus, the victorious and triumphant church is emerging. In the name of Jesus, thank you, blessed Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we prayed. Come on, go ahead and rejoice. Amen. Go ahead and rejoice. Is that the best you can do? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you ready for this second service? Online, are you ready? Please, if you're watching online, please kindly share the links with others. Just watching on YouTube, copy the link, broadcast it on Facebook, copy the link, send it to your contact on WhatsApp. Tell people to join service. Amen. Because the Lord has something to say. Amen. You're watching on Mixlr, do the same thing. Listening on Mixlr, do the same thing. Copy the links and share with others. Amen. Why? The Lord has something to say. Amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you, T.O.P. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, is that part of the service where I start feeling the anointing? Amen. Start feeling the anointing. Really? Praise God. Okay, let's get into the work of second service. This is this should be part 10 now. I believe you can name the part correctly, I'm not sure. But for August edition, this is part 4. Okay, but for continuity, this should be part 10. Primitive apostolic practice. Hallelujah. Okay, August edition, the last of August edition. We began, amen. And follow the line, please kindly let us know where you're watching from. Okay. And be expectant. Amen. Glory to God. Be expectant. Glory to God. We have had uncountable stories of testimonies of men and women who were touched online, some through phones. Praise God. So don't be left out. The power of God is here. Okay, have an expectation. You know, your expectation gives direction to your faith. Okay, in a measure. We said when desire is specific, faith is powerful. The power of faith is unleashed in an amazing way. to have expectations in this service. You made it to the hall, or you're watching online, have expectations. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know what flashed to my mind? The very Sunday of COVID lockdown. You know, this cannot intimidate us anymore. Amen. But I've been through hell and high waters. Glory to God. All right, so have expectation and get ready for the Lord to do that which only He can do. All right. We have been talking on primitive apostolic practices for about 10 weeks now, and it's been an amazing teaching. And I want to encourage you, if you have not been listening to the messages, you see, one-time contact in church is not enough. If you have not been listening to the messages, go to our Telegram channel, Glory Zone Global. Okay, subscribe. The materials are there. Or you can go online to the library.gloryzoneglobal.org and get the materials and sit with them and listen to them again and again and again and again. Okay, one time is not enough. There are messages I've listened to 50 to 100 times. Maybe, yeah, I lost count. Okay? I lost count. And I believe very strongly that this series is one of such materials that you should fellowship with. You see, it will birth convictions in your heart. Last year's outpouring, we talked about persuasions, prayer, and productivity, right? And we spent a lot of time talking about persuasions. Why? This generation is not so strong on persuasions. For obvious reasons, there are many things that Satan has sponsored, okay, to water down persuasions, to distract us, okay? So we are not strong. The generation, he's not strong on persuasion. But here's the sad thing. If the truth of God's word that you know has not become a conviction, it cannot produce results. That is the design. Paul was writing to Timothy. He was talking about the things you have learned and your heart has been assured of. Continuing the things you have learned and your heart has been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. Have it together. So the things you learn is not enough to learn. Your heart has to be assured of the things you are learning, because the result is in that place of your heart being assured of. And that is what faith is. A lot of believers don't even know what faith is. Faith is not trying to fit it. So this is why they say things like, I've been trying to fit it, it's not working. There's nothing like that. Faith flows from the place of persuasion. It flows from a place of conviction. When you act based on persuasion, you are in faith. When you act based on what you heard somebody else do, you are not yet in faith. Have it together. When you act from a place of strong persuasion, you are in faith, and results are guaranteed. This is the design, that you cannot truly really produce with the word of God until you are acting from the place of persuasion. And you cannot get to the place of persuasion without consistent interface. You are hearing again and again. Okay? You are giving your ears to it again and again. Proverbs 4 talks about, my son, attend to my word, right? Incline your ears to my saying. Let them not depart from your heart. Keep them before your face. It says, for they are life to those who find them, and medicine, mape, to all their flesh. Something that has therapeutic value to all their flesh. Praise God. So get the materials and sit to them. And even beyond the instruction I'm giving for primitive apostolic practices, it must be a lifestyle. Remember, one of the things we learned as a primitive apostolic practice is protracted interface with the teaching of God's word. We saw it from the early church, how they could sit from morning till night, sometimes from morning till morning, hearing the word. How they could sit every day for 2 years. Okay? For years, just hearing the word. Just hearing the word. You know, I tell people, nobody is a failure. The problem is being ready to do what it takes. Okay? And by that, I'm not talking about something difficult. Be ready to do what the Bible says to do. Glory to God. Be ready to focus on the word. You keep it plain. You have your journal. You are taking notes and you are hearing. Your life will improve. Your life will improve. Glory to God. God's word is his material for change. There's no other material. Today, we'll be talking about every believer a minister. Okay? Every believer a minister. Every believer a minister. And I trust God that I'm hoping that we'll finish up this phase of the teaching today. Acts chapter 8, very quickly, Acts 8, 1 and 4. We can read 1 to 4, then Ephesians 4, 11 to 12. In King James, then in Amplified, that's the Ephesians. Okay. It says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. You know, this is a continuation from chapter 7, right? Hello? Have those of you in the hall, talk now. Hello? Amen. Don't let the seats intimidate you. No, so this was a continuation from chapter 7. Stephen was stoned. He was the first martyr of the church. He was stoned. Stoned to death. And the Lord received his spirit up. Okay? And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except for the apostles. Verse 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Verse 3. And for Saul, he made havoc. He made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hauling men and women, committing them into prison. I mean, this is Apostle Paul, before he became Apostle Paul. Therefore, this is where we're going. It says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad. How many of them were scattered abroad in verse 1? All, apart from the apostles. Are you with me? Amen. That means what you would call the fivefold ministry were in Jerusalem. They were not the ones scattered abroad. He said, therefore, they, meaning everyone that were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Preaching the word. The apostles excluded. That's remarkable, isn't it? All went everywhere preaching the word. Okay? Preaching the word. I want you to note that. They all went everywhere. In case you didn't get the point, go to verse 1. Let me show you the people who went everywhere. Look at this. The second part of verse 1. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Okay? So all the disciples were scattered. The whole church was scattered. Amen. So go to verse 4 now, so you understand what I'm saying. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, how many were they? All. Did you get that now? Went everywhere preaching the word. Okay? Preaching the word. We're talking about every believer, a minister. Every believer, a minister. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12. Okay. And he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists. Okay, this amplifying. You have amplified classic. Most of our use to King James. We'll read King James first, then we'll go to amplified classic. So go back to King James. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. The Greek word there means equipping, furnishing. For the furnishing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Give me a message translation now. I'm just reading verse 10 to 12. Amplify, not message, amplify. Okay. Okay. Okay, are you seeing this? You already got the part where he talked about, he gave some apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers. Look at this, verse 12 now. He said his intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated one, that they should do the work of ministry towards building up Christ's body, the church. Did you see that? So the focus there is the saints being equipped to do the work of the ministry. Did you get that? So do the work of the ministry. In fact, I love it the way a commentator put it. I love the way the commentator put it. I'm going to read it for you. Just a moment. Today's what, 29th, right? Okay. I read it here. He says, for the qualifying of believers, he's talking about equipping of believers, to train them and make them ready, that they may in each and every way themselves labor
for the advancement and edification of the church. Did you get that? Most times when people read this from the King James, it's okay, it gives them apostles, prophets, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, suggesting that the apostles, the prophets, the pastors and teachers are to perfect the saints, and the same people are to do the work of the ministry. No. Equipping must have an end. Come on now, talk to me. Maturity has a purpose. We mature to take responsibility. Are you with me? Even in natural families, when you raise your son, you pay his school fees. Imagine at my level now, calling my father for pocket money. Does it make sense? I'm a family man. I can't call my father for pocket money. You know what they call pocket money? Okay, just call and say, oh, daddy, good morning, sir. Please, my pocket money has finished. You can't even think of it. That would be irresponsible. What do you think? Irresponsible. I've been grown, sent to medical school. I was the one who decided to be a pastor. It's my business. Amen. Glory to God. But my point is, even biological families, children are raised to take responsibilities. It's the same thing spiritually. The purpose of equipping, in fact, that will help you understand the verses. The purpose of equipping is so that the saints can take responsibilities. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the furnishing of the saints, for the raising of the saints. Are we together? For the maturing of the saints, so that the saints can do the work of the ministry, can contribute to the advancement and the edification of the church. Are you with me? That's what they're saying. The early church understood this. We just read a portion for you. How that they were scattered everywhere, and those who were scattered went everywhere preaching. That is, this preaching thing is for Paul and the other folks in Jerusalem. We are just all being persecuted. Let's wait until we return to Jerusalem. No. No. That means if you are properly raised, you go to a country to do masters, you start preaching. Oh, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. You relocated your family to Canada, you started preaching. You were not just looking for a church to attend. You saw a need in your environment, you started preaching. You started gathering people. You started having prayer meetings. Why? Every minister, every believer is a minister. Everyone who was scattered by persecution preached. They were engaged in ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. You see, the ministry of the gospel is not just to get us saved and then keep us waiting to go to heaven. It's more than that. After you are saved, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the word of God, still has a ministry in your life. And part of that ministry is to forge a mindset in you that will give you a way of life. I say that again. The ministry of the word, or the ministry of the gospel after you are born again, is to forge a mindset that gives you a way of living. To forge ideologies in you. To show you, you see, the word of God is our revelation into the mind of God. That means when we truly engage the word, hearing, studying, okay, listening to it, interacting with the word, it opens our eyes to see the mind of God. We understand how God thinks, how God sees things. We understand God's perception, his mind concerning situations, his position concerning things on the earth. Hope you know that God has a position concerning everything. I didn't get it right. God has the position. Did you get that? Concerning every matter, God has the position. And by that I mean God has the right position. Concerning leadership, God has the right position. He has a position, or he has the position. Concerning marriage, for example, God has the position. Glory to God. Concerning politics, God has the position. Everything on the earth. You see, the word of God is our revelation into the mind of God. Very important. You get to know what God really thinks beyond the traditions of men and beyond even your experience. I'm saying this because I'm about to redefine ministry for you. Okay? But see, the word of God is our compass. The word of God is our true north. You see, if you have the compass, if you have not sorted out north, you can't determine the other direction. Glory to God. I believe I told you that when we taught on commitment to sound doctrine. You see, there are landmarks in scriptures as far as determining God's position concerning things are concerned. Amen. I insist that doctrine or sound doctrine is not subjective. God's position concerning issues is not subjective. Okay? It's not subjective. They are absolutes. They are absolutes. And if you don't hold firmly the absolute, you'll be swayed by every wind of doctrine. Have it together. So, God's word helps us to really know how God thinks, what is on his mind, concerning the traditions of men. Sorry, beyond the traditions of men, even beyond your experience, beyond what is popularly said. What does the Bible have to say? When you begin to ask those questions and think like that, you're growing. Amen. So let's redefine ministry. We're talking on every believer minister. What is ministry? Is ministry the standing on the pulpit like Dr. Carey is talking to people? Is ministry the organizing of a church? Is ministry the organizing of a crusade? Is ministry just laying hands on people? Ministry is beyond that. It includes that but goes beyond that. Now, this lack of understanding of what is on God's mind concerning ministry is the reason Christianity is boring to many believers. A lot of Christians are really bored. Okay, after they have made money, God has answered their prayers, they are married now, they have children now, they have a good job, they are bored. Why do you think people living Africa or leave Nigeria to Europe, some of them backslide? Okay, you hear things like, okay, this guy used to be a brother, now he's saying things you don't understand. He says, is that really God? Let me tell you something. They never heard the gospel. And they never understood the gospel. They never understood the gospel. At best, what they knew was that God will help them meet their heart desires. Okay, get their prayer points. You understand now? God will help them. Okay, this is my prayer point too. After God has done it. Because when you get to a place where all the things you want, you already have, what to be left? Will God still have your loyalty? Have it together. So they get there, they have average jobs beyond all they expected in life. Of course, their pictures were small in the first place. Okay, and then they have some money, there's always light, they are happy. Finally, Nepal is not taking light anymore. Amen. Amazing. And then they go, somebody speaks some English to them. They're like, in this place, things are working. And they're not even praying like we did back in Nigeria. The problem was, why were they praying? They were praying for needs. They never heard the gospel. They never understood the mind of God. They didn't meet God. Is somebody with me? And part of the gospel that they understand is, apart from the gospel of salvation, okay, the gospel of we have an eternal life, they didn't understand the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? They didn't understand it. That beyond getting saved, there is the understanding of the interest of your Father. Have it together. There is an assignment that is committed to every believer. Glory to God. So, for that reason, many Christians are bored. And the way churches are organized have not helped them, help the matter. We have taught that if you are not an usher in church, leading people, okay, or preaching on the pulpit, or singing in the choir, or cleaning church, you cannot do ministry. And that is not true. Have it together. So what then is ministry? When we say every believer a minister, what are we saying? You see, there is the carrying out of the assignment, and there is the platform for carrying out the assignment. Most times people confuse platforms with assignment. They are not the same thing. Glory to God. Let me give you a very simple example. Part of my assignment is to raise people, is to raise kingdom ambassadors, packaging excellence and success in every sphere. Preaching to you now on this platform is a platform, do you understand, of carrying out an assignment. When I'm doing Instagram live, I'm not on the stage preaching. You can see another platform. The platform has changed. I'm not on Instagram communicating knowledge. Carrying out the same assignment but with different platform. So the confusion most times is confusing assignment with platform. And most times the tradition has stereotyped only one platform or a few platforms to be used to achieve what is supposed to be achieved. Are you listening to me? So for a long time, when we mention ministry, God has called me to ministry. What comes to your mind? Kai, this brother is about to start a church. This brother is about to start crusade. He's about to start a ministry. We even call it a ministry. Have it together. And then the guy who has so much passion, okay, for football, for example. He has so much passion for sports and entertainment. He's speaking in tongues. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. He's anointed. He loves God. He wants God to use him. Things that he is not in ministry. Okay, only the guy on the pulpit is in ministry. So he thinks, well, how can we help those in ministry? So, Pastor, this is my tithe. This is my offering. Are we together? That is the popular reasoning around ministry. But it's got to change. Because that is going to point just a few folks as people who are being involved, who are involved in ministry. But that's not God's wisdom. That is not God's mind. Are you with me? What is ministry? Ministry, well, let's start from the New Testament. Diaconia, that's a good word. Diaconia. It means service. You should write this down. Ministry means service, especially of those who execute the command of others. Write it down. Don't pronounce it diaconia. Can anglicize it, but it's pronounced diaconia. Okay? It means service, especially of those who execute the command of others. We can apply it to our context now. Question, does the church have a command or not? We have a command. We call it the Great Commission. We call it the Great Commandment. The Great Commission is a command. Matthew 28 from verse 18. He says, all hail. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. He says, go ye therefore, meaning go in this power and make disciples of all nations. That's the command. Praise God. Watch this. That means everything you do in service, obeying that command, is ministry. Did you get that? It is ministry. It is ministry. You can also write this down. Diaconia, or diaconia, also means helping to meet needs. Helping to meet needs. You can put in bracket within the context of God's plan for men. Okay, which for us is the Great Commission. Helping to meet need. Okay, have you written that down? Helping to meet need. Give me Mark 16. I quoted Matthew 28 already for you. Give me Mark 16. 15 to 17. Okay, Mark 16. 15 to 17. So we can see what ministry is. Helping to meet needs. Helping our serving. Especially yielding to carry out a command. That's ministry. That is ministry. Listen, every Christian all over the world is a ministry. All Christians are in ministry. They may not know it, but they are in ministry. Are we together? You are in ministry. You see, once you truly understand this, it will change your courage. I gave an example earlier, talking about a guy who is interested, maybe passionate about football, about sport. The moment he understands ministry, he begins to see his gifting. He begins to locate his platform in the area of his passion. Have it together. He begins to see his gifting, his passion, as a platform for carrying out ministry. Did you get that? For carrying out ministry. I mean, many years ago, what's the name of that? Is it Kaka or so? I mean, those evangelicals from South America, they did a lot in football. They did a lot. Some of them got their team members born again, minus the thousands of people that could reach with their influence. That is ministry. I mean, was he a World Cup, a Champions League final? I think it was AC Milan 2003. Also, where Kaká raised his shirt and talked about, as I love Jesus or something. It went viral. Imagine if he wasn't trained. He is an evangelical. Imagine if he wasn't trained for ministry. If he didn't understand that, look, his football is a platform for ministry. His politics is a platform for ministry. His business is a platform for ministry. It changes the game. It does. So ministry will not be beyond, okay, or the church life, not really ministry. Church life will go beyond just attending church on Sunday and giving offering. There's a common vision. There's a command. And that's what I want you to see. Remember the definition I gave is helping out. Okay. Meeting. The first one. Yes, service, especially of those who execute the command of others. Okay. Service. There's a command. And I don't want you to forget that. We have a rallying point. Amen. I said amen. There is a command. There's a command. And serving within the context of that command is ministry. I say it again, there is a command. We call it the Great Commission. Whatever you do in service to meet needs within the context or the jurisdiction of that command is called what? Ministry. So you are in ministry. Say it, I'm in ministry. Say it like you believe it, I'm in ministry. Hallelujah. Praise God. Mark 16, very quickly. Mark 16. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is addressed to every believer. All right. Next verse. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with tongues. Are you seeing that? They shall take up serpents with safety. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Now he's talking to the few that were with him. He tells them, you go preach the gospel to the whole world and communicate his mandate to everyone. Because the picture he's painting here is everyone who truly believes is empowered to carry out the assignment that he gave. That's what he's saying. He says, this sign shall follow them that believe, not just the fivefold. Them that believe. So you can write is that ministry is not the exclusive reserve of the fivefold ministry, of the so-called, in quote, ministry is not the exclusive reserve of pastors, apostles, evangelists, what we call full-time ministers. You can put it that way. It's not. It's the collective responsibility of every believer. You can write it down. It is. Did you get that? It's a collective responsibility of every believer. Praise God. Did you get that? You are serious. It's ministry talk, right? Have you gotten that? This is a serious matter. So, it's a collective responsibility. And we have prophetic revelation concerning our times. Hallelujah. We have things that were prophesied concerning our time. And when you receive those prophecies, they attest to the things I'm saying. These prophecies. But look, it's about God mobilizing everyone for what he's doing in the end time. Mobilizing everyone. We saw that pattern in the early church. We'll read more scriptures. Mobilizing everyone. Mobilizing everyone. So as a Christian, you must see yourself as being in ministry. Okay? And it's an interface of two things. Ministry on the platform of your local church. That is very important. And then ministry on the platform of your marketplace position. The two will work together. Are you with me? Ministry. Because you cannot carry out ministry disconnected from the local church. Write that somewhere else. You cannot engage a ministry as a believer disconnected from the local church. It just doesn't work that way. Okay?
has got pattern. That's God's pattern. But it's an interface between your place in the marketplace, seeing it as a platform for carrying out the Great Commission, okay? As a platform for establishing the Lordship of Jesus in the hearts of men and across the various spheres of human endeavor. And number two, seeing your local church as a platform for collective ministry. The two must work together. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. So every believer is a minister, and every believer must be raised to think ministry. Every believer, as a Christian, this is the reason you've heard me say this again and again, that as a Christian, don't just go to a place where they just prophesy to you and lead warfare prayer, and then you go home, you come again, you prophesy, they lay hands, the word is not being taught, instructions are not being given, you are not being trained. It is not good for you. Church exists to equip you for the work of ministry. That means if you are not being equipped in a place, you are in the wrong place. Are we together? That means as a Christian, you cannot be consumer focused. I gave an example earlier about why do some Christians leave Nigeria and go to UK or to Canada and start talking funny? Most of them were not raised. They were consumer Christians. They were not raised. They didn't know that they were saved to save others. They didn't know that they had a ministry as a believer. You may be an usher, you have a ministry. A ministry in church and a ministry that transcends the four walls of the church. Have it together. You may be a politician. As a believer, you have a ministry. A ministry collectively in your local church and a ministry in your platform of politics and government. You have a ministry. And remember, I was saying ministry is service. Especially for those who are carrying out a command given by another. I would say for us, our context, that command is the Great Commission. If you see your career as the platform for ministry, you approach it differently. If you see your career, your business as a platform for ministry, you approach it differently. Because now you are seeing it as something that is beyond you. You are seeing it as something. Listen, in this ministry, we're going to have all over the world, we're going to have men positioned in strategic places. Hallelujah. By the power of God. In the different spheres, in media, there'll be position. In politics, there'll be position. In business, there'll be position. Are we together? In sports, in entertainment, there'll be position. In the name of Jesus. And that position is to carry out ministry. It's to carry out ministry. What the sociologists call the seven mountains of influence. Highest a pastor can sit on just one or two. Amen. The mountain of religion, right? But how is the church going to influence the remaining mountains? Through the believers. Through the believers. That means believers must see what they do as ministry. It's compulsory. Glory to God forevermore. Remember Numbers 11:29. When Moses prophesied, in fact, if you have been listening to this series, you must have heard Numbers 11:29 again and again. When they came and told him that, look, two guys are prophesying, Eldad and Medad, are prophesying in the camp, forbid them to, tell them to stop. And he said, are you jealous for me? Envious thou for my sake? I would God that all of the Lord's people were prophets, and that he will put his spirit upon you. This statement is to an end. The Holy Ghost is not for sitting down. He says, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Are you hearing me? So that means we can say how God anointed Victor is the phenomenon number with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about the business world? Are you listening to me? Who went about the political arena? Are you listening to me? How God anointed social something right with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about the world of sports and entertainment, doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil? For God is with him. The Holy Ghost is not for sitting down. No, it's for going. Oh, are you with me? It's for going. It's not for sitting down. It's for going. It's for going. It's for going. So, if he prayed this prayer and it was fulfilled in the early church, I mean on the day of Pentecost, being fulfilled now, that means we are to be on the go. Doing what? Carrying our ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Joel 2 emphasized that. So we have prophecies concerning our age that everyone is to be involved. Everyone, when they are talking in church about maybe planting churches, taking the city, every church member must be involved. Everyone listening must be involved. No one talk about taking nations, taking cities and nations. It's not like you are not left out. Glory to God. You begin to see your partnership in church. Glory to God. And then using your platform out of church to propagate this message. That's what he's saying. The early church had this pattern. Okay. Of course, they had an apostolic leadership, but they all got involved in ministry. Acts chapter 8, we read it, 1 and 4. They that were scattered went everywhere, preaching. The ministry of preaching was carried out by everyone. The ministry of intercession was carried out by everyone. The ministry of worship was carried out by everyone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 5, okay, 18 to 20. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20. Can put it up. Hallelujah. It talks about receiving the ministry of reconciliation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, right? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. That means from the day you were reconciled, you were given a ministry. That's what he's saying. A ministry of reconciliation. Hear me. Every believer has a ministry of reconciliation. That means no day should pass, no week should pass without you engaging in something that promotes the reconciliation of men to God. Either your time, your mouth, your words, your money, are we together? Your prayers, your talent, your treasures, it must be involved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Every believer must be involved. He said he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You can see it. Ministry of reconciliation. He's not saying, go and start ministry. Reconciliation Ministry International. No, there is. I know it. There's a reconciler's ministry. I encountered them when I was, before I became a teenager. So yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. But it's for you to know that you have a ministry. And you have to do it big. Are you with me? You have to do it big. Are you aware that 2 Corinthians 3:18 implicates every believer? He said, we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image as by the Spirit of the Lord. Every believer is implicated. He said, we are changed. Whose image? Jesus. Jesus. And he said, as my Father has sent me, even so sent I you. Are you with me? So the ministry of intercession is the collective ministry of every believer. Every believer. There are those who don't pray in church except the prayer is for them. That is wrong. A believer who knows that he's a minister will not behave like that. Amen. When you say, let's pray for Plateau State, let's pray for Nigeria, let's pray for Afghanistan. Okay, what's, let's pray for believers in Afghanistan. You see them standing and looking, Afghanistan. What's my business? Which concern me? Amen. So let's pray for our brethren in Maiduguri. Okay, our brethren in Jos. Some will be eating their mouth. And so when you say, right now, we're going to pray for new levels of financial increase. Hey, we're going to pray for every enemy pursuing your destiny. Somebody will pull his shirt. We'll tie her head scarf on her waist. And say, Shabba. And then the temperature of the prayer will increase. Are we together? In fact, some people will pull their shoes and take position. We are, oh Lord, every no, that is not Christianity. Yeah. Amen. They are thinking the pastor should be praying that prayer. Is that not why he's pastor? Yeah, I'm not pastor. Is that not why he's a beg? Just carry your wallah and go. Praise God. No. No. The ministry of intercession for people, for kingdom advancement, is the responsibility of every believer. Are you here? The ministry of worship. Do you know worship is a ministry? A ministry. We call it ministering to the Lord. That one, you are directly serving the Lord. You remember Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. He said, when they, as they fasted and ministered to the Lord, and ministered to the Lord, and ministered to the Lord. What was he talking about? Worship. Paul talks about prayer of worship. He says, I would that men everywhere will pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath unto God. It's our collective responsibility. I mean, it's beyond the worship leaders. Walk. You have to learn to worship. You say, Pastor, me, I cannot sing. Who says worship is singing? Singing, like we say, singing is just a platform. Okay, for worship. Again, you remember I told you that we can confuse assignment with platforms. And you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. You can confuse assignment with platform. You have to separate them. We have an assignment of ministry to the Lord. You can be singing, you are Lord. You like sing three keys at once. But well, try and learn for your convenience. Even when you make noise, to the Lord is joyful. But for your own convenience, at least try. So that sometimes you can be blessed around you. Amen. And you have jumped three keys. You are Lord. You are Lord. Amen. You have risen from the dead. You are Lord. I'm still on one key. Amen. Every knee shall bow. Well, the angels may be blocking their ears, but well, God enjoys it. Glory to God. God enjoys it. The ministry of soul winning, of global evangelism, which is the crux of this talk, is the collective responsibility of every believer. The ministry of soul winning, the ministry of preaching the gospel, is the collective responsibility of every believer. There is no excuse you can give. You are involved. You can't say you are too young and you can't get involved. It's not possible. Go and ask Jeremiah. God told him, he said, don't say you are too young. He said he was complaining that he was a young man. He was too young. He couldn't face the people. Did God accept his excuse? Talk to me, somebody. Did God accept his excuse, those of you online? No. You are not too young. You are not too old. Moses was 80 when he began his ministry. There's no argument. In fact, Moses argued that he was a stammerer, that he can't talk. That you think you can't talk well is not an excuse. You must be involved in preaching. God said, okay, I'll give Aaron to be your prophet. He will interpret for you. You have to go. Are you with me? There is no excuse. You are not too poor or too rich. Rich people were involved in the gospel. Poor people were involved with the gospel. When you read the Bible, everybody, Joseph of Arimathea, he was a wealthy man. He played his part. Whether you are rich, you have to be involved. Whether you feel you are poor, you have to be involved. And by the way, no believer is poor, really. Amen. I mean, even if you believe, okay, you're in a transition, you don't have much, you have to be involved. Have it together. You are not too educated to be involved. You are not too uneducated to be involved. Are you with me? 1 Corinthians, maybe we'll read a few scriptures. 1 Corinthians 1:26, very instructive scripture. There are a lot of people misquote and misunderstand on both sides. He said, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You see, you can see the scripture and say, you see, God is not calling mighty people. God is not calling wise men after the flesh. God is not calling noble people. That's a lie. You didn't see it well. He didn't say not any noble. He didn't say not any wise. Are you with me? He didn't say not any. He said not many. So God calls the wise men after the flesh. He calls the noble. He calls the mighty. He does. He calls the extremely educated. In fact, the foundation of the move of the spirit in Nigeria was in the educational institution. Are you aware? from the 70s. Pastor W.F. Kumiye was a lecturer. Pastor E. Adebeye was a lecturer. Are you with me? Okay, the Mountain of Fire man was a lecturer. Are you with me? They started ministry on the university. Now when you now go to those who started as students, the move of God started with them in the universities. A lot of them are architects, medical doctors, engineers. Have you noticed? Lawyers, a lot of professionals. Do you know what it means to read a professional course in those days? In fact, some of them had first class. Some had third class. It made no difference. They were too busy for ministry. Amen. But are you getting my point? Did you know that Paul had a PhD? What you call a PhD? Paul was educated. Paul was a brilliant man. Paul was super educated. He has scholastic erudition. He was an intelligent man after the flesh. And guess what? God used it. That means there's no excuse. There's no excuse. Whether you're a rich kid or a poor kid, you have to preach the gospel. No excuse. No excuse. There's space for everyone. Whether you feel smart or you don't feel smart is a feeling. You get involved. Whether you feel fine or you don't feel fine is a feeling. You know what I mean? Some people think they are not fine. And that's demonical. To think that you're not beautiful enough or handsome enough is very demonic. I'm sure probably it happened. Maybe there are background stories to it, but notwithstanding, you cannot live like that. Amen. That is not God's will. It's not God's will. Everybody is fine. Amen. You are the best of you there is. So make the best out of you. Make the best out of you. And confidence is very attractive, in case you don't know. Confidence is very attractive. Amen. Confidence, attitude is very attractive. Amen. So everybody must be involved. This is how we're going to mechanize the gospel. Amen. We are partners in mechanizing this gospel. It has to be done in a big way. The Bible likens sowing into fishing and harvest of the field. Matthew 4, John 4. Hallelujah. And if it's true that it's likened to fishing, he said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. That means you can either do it by hook. Okay, no hook. Hook and line. You catch one fish per time. Or we can bring rollers. Ships, fishing ships. Is somebody with me? Is somebody with me? And you have a part to play. If you want to mechanize anything, there are things you must inject into it. Money. Capital. Hallelujah. You want to automate anything? Money. That's financial capital. Human capital. That means your knowledge, your influence is needed. Glory to God. You're a social media influencer. Be strategic about it and use it as a platform to propagate the gospel. You don't need to carry the Bible there. Today we are studying Bible. You can leave that one for us. But you can carry a message, carry a clip and put there. And say, oh guys, you need to watch this. Are you with me? That is using your platform. You are an actress, an actor. You have influence. You have to use it. Your money has to be involved. Your mind has to be involved. Are you with me? Media. Why do we tell you, okay, share the content? Everybody. It's not just for media people. Every time you see live service, share it. You may get to someone. Listen, you get blessed by hearing the message. That means others can get blessed too. Are you with me? Pastor does a post. You got blessed by it. Don't just pass. Share it. Spread it. Because listen, you can't mechanize any ideology without media. It's not possible. It's not possible. I have a full teaching on this. I'll teach it next year. Amen. It's not possible. So take a stand for the gospel. Take a stand for the gospel. Get involved. Get involved in soul winning. Don't say I can't. Learn how it's done. Don't say my own is just to give money. No, learn how to preach to people. Have it together. Don't say my own is just to preach. Learn how to give. Make money and give. Are we together? Fire on all cylinders. Because you're a minister. If God has given you the, if it's true that God has given to you the ministry of reconciliation, he will ask you to give account of it. So life is not just fun fair, just being on social media and enjoying yourself and sleeping and waking up. No, your life must be about something. Last week I told you about the fact that money and resources come to those who have agenda. Never forget that. Every day you wake up, look yourself in the mirror. What's your agenda? What's your agenda? What's your agenda? And the Bible has a prescription for you. Global evangelism. Mechanizing soul winning. Are we together? Propagating the gospel to the nations of the earth. Beginning from where you are. God always begins from where you are. You're a minister. In September is going to be soul winning. In fact, we're winning soul from September to the end of the year. Inside soul winning. Amen. Have you seen our fathers of faith still on the street winning souls? Have you seen it? Have you seen them? That's the reason they are ahead. Glory to God. When a call is made for evangelism, maybe combine one. Don't say it's for evangelism unit. We don't even have evangelism unit here. Are you here? You just have an outreach coordination center in the office. Because we believe that everyone should get involved in soul winning. When we talk about invitation, it's not, we're not talking to a select few. Every believer, a minister. Every believer, a minister. Every believer, a minister. Have you been blessed? Glory to God. Rise to your feet. Glory. Rise with a shout. Online, can you give a shout? Can you give a shout? Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. In just 2 minutes, say, Lord, I'm committed. I'm yielded. In the name of Jesus, I'm committed. I am yielded. I talked about the ministry of intercession. We'll be praying tomorrow morning. Don't say it's for prayer units. No, pray. We'll be praying for the land. Get involved. We're praying for Plateau State. We're praying for Nigeria. Get involved. Get involved. Amen. Can you open your mouth and talk to the Lord? I'm yielded. Don't meditate. Talk to the Lord. I'm yielded. Ligo raska mandos keshtelida. Luzdo vramande koseshtepaya. Hinka bora soshtepora dika. I'm yielded. I'm yielded. I'm yielded. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lebro kepatosista. Jembetondras gibana gombros kishta foranibaha. Samena cobrectos kishta pora de la haya. Honta berosesta poda. Zeninga prunda. Oh, Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.